Amen. There is a word from the Lord. Luke, the 19th chapter. I want to encourage the youth and everybody to see Jesus one day. Luke 19. Our scriptural text will encompass verses 1 through 10. But as a key scripture, I'm going to look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus, called him by name. How many of you know Jesus knows every one of our names? He said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your house today. Amen. I, for subject today, want to pose a rhetorical question to you. What are you willing to do to see Jesus? What are you willing to do to see Jesus? Amen. Everyone may be seated. Let us look away to the Lord. Eternal God, our Father, we come right now, God, lifting you up above the earth, God, just to say thank you. Lord, you've been a good God. God, you look beyond our faults. And Lord, you saw our need, God. For that, God, for your grace and mercy, we say thank you, God. Lord, we ask God now for your forgiveness, God. We've done some things. I've said some things that went contrary of your will and your way. But you said if I confess my sins to you, you'd be faithful and just to forgive me. That you'd even cast my sins into the sea of forgetfulness. That you'd remember them no more, God. Now, God, lure us into the storehouse of knowledge, God. Give us content of clarity, God, a rhema word right now, God, so that self might be crucified. The devil in hell might be horrified and you might be glorified. We ask, God, all these things in Jesus' name. Let the people of God say amen. 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 What are you willing to do to see Jesus? Again, I know many of you can't tell by looking at me. But growing up, one of my favorite parts of mealtime was dessert. One of my favorite desserts was the Klondike bar. Anybody remember that? What would you do for a Klondike bar? The Klondike bar, for the young people today who may have not seen it, was this thick block of vanilla ice cream coated in a thin layer of chocolate. Anybody hungry yet? Mama said, you better eat your greens first. The Klondike bar, but it was good, but what made it even better was that it had phenomenal product marketing. In the commercials, you know, a man, the Klondike man, was standing in front of people, and he would unwrap the Klondike bar, and he'd show it to people. And he'd say, what would you do for a Klondike bar? And people would do just about anything for that Klondike bar. I remember one time there was this banker standing outside this stately bank building with his three-piece suit on, and he had his briefcase. And the Klondike man walked up to him and said, what would you do for a Klondike bar? The guy's like, nothing. He unwraps it for this thick vanilla ice cream coated in chocolate. Would you act like a monkey? Man says, oh, God, no. Then he unwraps it and shows it to him. He says, are you sure you wouldn't act like a monkey? And the man says, ooh, ooh. Then he waves it in front of his face. And before you knew it, the man in the three-piece suit and the briefcase was acting all-out monkey for the Klondike bar. The guy gave him the Klondike bar. And he says, okay, you can stop now. Because the guy was still acting like a monkey for the Klondike bar. Today, I want to pose almost the same question that the Klondike man was posing to people, random people on the street. My question to you, the people of God, the Christians of God, what are you willing to do to see Jesus? In our text today, we encounter a man named Zacchaeus who faced the same question. What are you willing to do to see Jesus? Somebody say Jesus. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 and 2 says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector. See, I thought this was befitting since we just had to mail off those tax returns. You know, I wait because, you know, they don't want to give me nothing. But he was a chief collector of the region and had become rich. Just like I told you, what would you do to see Jesus? This rich tax collector was faced with the same question. Now, chief tax collector, like you and I might look at our property tax bill, income taxes, sales taxes, and compare them to the crumbling infrastructure that we drive over every day, the crumbling bridges we drive over every day, the school systems, and other inadequate services. Just like them, the Jews who were facing people like Zacchaeus was not happy either. They felt the same way that we feel. I guess there's nothing new under the sun. To finance their great kingdom, their great empire, the Romans levied heavy taxes on every single nation under their control. I guess there is nothing new under the sun, the way they're levying sales taxes on us today. Oh, you can say amen. Tax collectors during this time, just like now, and if anybody here works for the IRS, I love you. You are some of the most respected people. Tax collectors were among the most unpopular people in Israel. Jews by birth, they chose to work in Rome, and they were considered traitors. Zacchaeus, though, had many strikes against him. One, he was head of the tax collectors in the region. Two, he had become very rich in his position, which means he was stealing money from people. I can tolerate a lot, but I can't stand a liar and a thief. Mama say you steal, you kill. Now, I thought that was mighty extreme. But if you steal and if you lie, you know, that's a portal to other things. Somebody say other things. So one, he was head of the chief tax collectors in the region. Two, he had become very rich stealing from the people. And three, he was a small man in stature, which probably means he had the short man complex, which I know a little bit about today. I'm preaching from authority today. I'm a big man in spirit. Short man's complex. You put all three of these, a man with power, a thief, and a little man, all into one bowl, and you have a recipe for disaster. Simply put, nobody, somebody say nobody, nobody liked him. As a matter of fact, the people despised him. So as Jesus was making his way through town, verse 3 says, Zacchaeus tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to get over the crowd. He was too short to get over the crowd. I want to ask you a question today. What person or what object in your life has gotten so big that is blocking you from seeing Jesus? Is it your spouse? Huh? Is it your boyfriend? Is it your girlfriend? Is it kids? Is it school? Is it a paper? What person or object in your life has become bigger than God to you? The text said he tried. That denotes effort. He tried to get a look at Jesus. Now let me ask you another rhetorical question. When was the last time you truly tried to make an effort to see Jesus? When all hell is breaking loose all around you, when was the last time you tried? Somebody say tried. You made an effort to see Jesus in your situation. You know, I was one of those people who always asked God, why? Why, God? It probably comes from me being a kid and asking why. I've got a son who's just like me, and for everything he says, why? You know, and as a new millennial parent who think we know better, we tell our kids to question us. Now see, growing up in the 80s, I couldn't question my parents. Why? Because I said so. And that was my head, because I said so. And then we'll ask you, are you mad now, right? Yes, I'm mad. You just hit me on the head. I am angry. But I'd have to lie. No, mama, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. Can you please give me more? But my son, ask me why. Why? I ask God why. And my professor, she would always say, instead of asking God why, which is unproductive, why don't you ask God, where are you in this situation? So I want to challenge the youth today, and I want to challenge the youth at heart today. Instead of always asking God why in your situation, sometime ask him, God, where are you in this situation? What gift are you giving me? What are you teaching me through this situation? Somebody say, why? Verse 4 says, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was passing that way. So he ran. I don't know about you, but nowadays, don't nobody run for nothing. Being a high energy person, that's probably one of the biggest things that bothers me about my kids. They don't run for nothing. Somebody say nothing. Young folk don't run for, I'm preaching to young folk today, right? They don't run for nothing. They slow and they drag. The only time they pick up a little step when I say, hey! So he ran. Again, we don't run for nothing, especially when it comes to God. We drag and we slow walk to Sunday school. We drag and we slow walk to Bible class. We drag and we slow walk to Sunday morning worship. Am I on your pew yet? I said we, so don't get mad at me. I'm a work in progress too. Somebody say we. So you put that we handle on it. They can't get mad at you, Reverend Curtis. When you say y'all, boy, they get up with righteous indignation. They get ready to walk out the church. So he ran ahead. The last time, when was the last time you ran and tried to get ahead of your problems and prayed to God? So he ran ahead. When was the last time you ran ahead and tried to get ahead of your problems and fasted and prayed? Fasting, I gotta eat, I'm a diabetic. So he ran ahead. When was the last time you tried to run ahead and get ahead of the enemy and get in the word of God? He ran ahead and he climbed. See, again, there's effort. See, people beat up on Zacchaeus, but Zacchaeus was a little thing. He was a dwarf. So he ran ahead and he climbed. Some stuff in our lives, homes, cars, jobs, our social status has become so big, has become so gargantuan in our lives that we're going to have to make some effort to climb them just to get a look at Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Let me slow down. Zacchaeus, thank you. Zacchaeus' physical height, his economic height, his social height had hindered him from seeing Jesus. What is hindering you today, People's Community Church, from seeing Jesus? It is something hindering you from seeing Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree. Now, this particular tree, this sycamore fig tree is very complex. This is not the same type of sycamore tree that you will find in America. This particular tree has branches that grow around the bottom of the base. So how most trees are big around the base, and then you get about 10 feet high, then the branches start to sprout. Well, in this particular tree, the base will start probably about 3 feet, and then the branches will start to grow from the base of the tree, which made it easy for Zacchaeus, or a kid for that matter, because he was about the size of a kid, to climb. But the problem with this sycamore tree is that it produced a myriad, a lot of figs, and the figs actually grew close to the branches of the tree, and they would bloom all the time because they were growing and they were producing all year long. So as they would ripen, new ones would come. So watch this. As something ripens, they don't necessarily fall off the branch. So bugs and bees and birds would hang around this sycamore tree. So I want you to see something. Zacchaeus, just to see Jesus, had to go through a nasty, sticky, bug-infested, bird-infested mess just to see Jesus. I want you to know today, forget thinking that this thing, this Christian journey, is going to be easy. You're going to have to go through some sticky, messy, nasty situations just to see Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Quit thinking that it's going to be easy to see Jesus. Figs grew around the branch. So can you imagine? We don't want to go to church when it snow. That was too easy. We don't want to go to church when it rain. We don't want to go to church when it's nice outside because we may miss tea time. We don't press for nothing. Verse 4 says, he ran ahead, climbed the fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was passing through that way. Beside the road, for Jesus, how many of you know that Jesus is coming back? Jesus is coming back for his people without a spot, wrinkle, or blemish. He is coming back. Somebody say back. Verse 5 says, when Jesus came back, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Jesus know my name. Zacchaeus, he said, see, Jesus sees you and he knows you. God loves you and he cares all about you. He can see everything. Somebody say everything. Omnipotent, all present, the beginning and the end. Somebody say he's so big he bumps into himself. Somebody say Jesus. Now that's big, ain't it? Zacchaeus, he said, come down quickly. See, Jesus liked people to move fast. We got to quit. I know I am a child of God, although I move so slow. We dress it up, don't we? No, you lazy. When Jesus came back, he looked up. This is why it is important to let God lead our lives and guide us. Why? Because he see everything. God has a vantage point that's better than ours. So that's why if we don't let God lead us, we will miss things along the way. We're in some relationships that we shouldn't be in because God didn't lead us. We're paying car notes on cars that don't work because we didn't let God lead us. We get into accidents on roads we shouldn't have never been on because we didn't let God. Jesus came by, looked up at Zacchaeus. I thank God for his grace and mercy. I thank him for loving us. Even when life has put us up so far on a pedestal that we can't see ourselves, Jesus can still see us and he is ready to catch us when the world let us fall. See, that's why I never got so caught up on titles. You know, where I came from, title was everything. First, you were Eddie Smith. And then you get your license to preach. Then you're Minister Smith. And then you get ordained. Then you're Reverend Smith. They give you a church, then you're Pastor Smith. And we ain't gonna argue about these apostolics and these apostles and the bishop prelate. I mean, you lose me when you get that file. Can I signify just a little bit? We got people calling themselves bishops and they don't even have a church. Somebody say hallelujah. No Episcopalian power to appoint nothing to nobody but their bishop. But in these titles, people will show yank you down. That's why I never cared. And I tell people, call me Eddie Smith. Because guess what? That's the name my mama and my daddy gave to me. And you can't take it away from me. It's my name. Call him by name. Call him by name. How many of you know Jesus knows your name? Zacchaeus, he said, come down. Come down. I must be a guest in your house today. I want to pose another rhetorical question. What would Jesus find if he came home with you today? Would he find worship in your house or a wet bar? I'm really signifying today, ain't I? That's another sermon. What would Jesus find if he came home with you today? Are we taking Jesus home with us? Are we taking Jesus into our relationships with us? Is Jesus allowed to go to work with us? See, we should do a survey there. Those of us who go to work, see how many people at work we can invite to church. Or are them people like, you go to church? Where your church at? I ain't going down that street. You agree? You know God? What? You know God? What? Verse 6 says, Zacchaeus climbed down. He climbed down. He hurried down. Took Jesus into his house with great excitement and joy. I just wish sometime Jesus could come here to church today and say, hey, I'm going home with all y'all today. Listen, I want to go to heaven, but I'm not ready right now. Zacchaeus came down quickly. He knew how to follow instructions. See, that's the problem with most of us. We don't want to follow instructions because they don't make sense. But how many of you know that God's ways are not our ways and God's thoughts are not our thoughts? When God say move, move. Young folk, when God say move, move. When God say run, run. He took Jesus to his house with great excitement and joy. Verse 7 says, the people were disappointed. They were displeased. He had gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. People were displeased. Everybody is not going to be happy when you find Jesus. Young folk, everybody not going to be happy when you get ethics and morals and you begin to follow Jesus. I was 17 when I started preaching, and everybody wasn't happy, including me, that Jesus had sought me out. That meant I had to live right. No shucking, like grandma would say, and jiving no more. But everybody is not going to be happy when you totally surrender all to Jesus. Many people will grumble, and also they are going to try to hinder you. Misery loves company. And if I haven't found Jesus, how dare you find him before me? I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. They don't like you just because they don't like you. And they ain't gonna never like you. That's what I say to justify when folk don't like me and I know it. You don't like me just because you don't like me. You ain't gonna never like me. Seven said the people were displeased. Jesus had become the guest of a notorious sinner. He had gone home to be a guest with a sinner. Judging by the people's reaction, Zacchaeus must have been horrible. He must have been a low-down, dirty person. But this shows us what Jesus' heart is. Jesus' heart is with the low-down, nasty, dirty person. Jesus said in Luke chapter 5, verse 31 and 32, healthy people don't need a doctor. We semi-healthy in the church. He said, you don't need a doctor. You go there and you just worship God. You worship the triune God. But let me, Jesus, I have come not to those who think they are righteous, but to those who know they are sinners and need to repent. I keep telling you, if Jesus was here right now, he'd be on Cicero and Lake Street or Cermak and Cicero reaching out to the drug addict, to the prostitute. He wouldn't be in here churching with us. The Bible said it. Verse 8 says, meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. How many of you know that we all gonna have to stand before Jesus? That's why I'm careful everything I say and do. You know, one of the things that is shaking the world today is Facebook Live. You can catch everything on it. I was somewhere and the police was pulling somebody over and all the people say, bring up live, put up live, put Facebook Live up. And everybody was filming. The police like, I was just telling him his lighters was out. His light was out. The guy was afraid. Bring up live. We see you. But watch this. Can you imagine walking up to the pearly gates? Here I am, Lord. And God bring up Facebook Live and show you everything you did and said. I'm careful what I say to folk now. Because between now, then, and now, you know, I've done a lot. I've said a lot. So I got some making up to do, y'all. That's why I'm glad we are saved by grace. That's where you put your hand together and you. Jesus' grace saves us. How many of you know today that we'll stand before God? Zacchaeus, standing before God, says, I will give back half my wealth to the poor. Lord, if I've cheated people that were paying their taxes, I will give them back four times as much as I took from them. When we encounter Jesus, our lives will never be the same. That's why they will know we are Christians, because our lives change. When we really encounter Jesus, our head, our stinking thinking changes, our heart changes, and our behavior changes. Don't make me, we don't do that no more. I'm this close, we don't say that no more. When we found Jesus, one encounter, just one. Somebody say one. Zacchaeus had never met him before, but one encounter with Jesus caused Zacchaeus to change his life. Now watch this, young folk. When you go to your university, when you go to your high school, when you go to your grammar school, some of the folk there will only see Jesus through you. You're the only Jesus they will see. And if they see Jesus in your walk, if they see Jesus in your behavior, it will change their entire life. I'm young. What could I do? You can live right. Somebody say live right. Everything about him changed, but his behavior changed when he met Jesus. We encounter Jesus, and we give half ourselves to him. But all of Zacchaeus changed when he met, somebody say, Jesus. Our behavior don't change. We do folk wrong, and then we get an attitude with them. You shouldn't have lent me the money in the first place. How did God tell me that? You know I don't pay back. They all sweet and loving when you lend them the money. They texting you, I am, and doing all them smiley emojis and the heart emojis. Don't nobody text no more, Reverend Smith. They don't write no more. It's all emojis. Send the hearts and all that, asking you for the dollar signs and the change with the peace signs. You give them the money. They say they're giving it back to you next week. Then you can't get nothing from them. It's our fault. Get an attitude. Verse 9 and 10 says, Jesus responded, salvation has come home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek those who are lost. Salvation has come home today. John chapter 3 verse 15 says, anyone who believe in him, somebody say Jesus, will have eternal life. Zacchaeus' encounter with him, with Jesus, not only changed his life, but he got saved. It saved him. Young people today, Y'all get hard people today. I'm right at my time.
All right.
12:30. 12 o'clock. Y'all don't want to hear another sermon? They're like, no. We ain't at PGM, are we, pastor? One encounter with Jesus, just one, changed his life and saved him. Young folk today, I want you to know that the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you act will save people.
Come on, preacher.
When I was in high school, when I went back to my anniversary, I'm not going to tell you which one, but when I went back, people said they knew there that I was a preacher. By the way I carried myself, I'm not saying I was perfect, but a lot of people got to know Jesus by the way I acted. How many people today, young folk, will get to know Jesus by the way you're acting? Somebody say hallelujah. What are you willing to do to see Jesus? Put those hands together and praise God today.